There's a very specific, almost painful kind of frustration that I think only engineers and surveyors really get. It's that feeling when you've spent days, maybe even weeks, out in the field. You're in the hy-vis vest, you're dealing with the weather, you're using this equipment that costs more than a car.
Really serious hardware.
Exactly. And you've gathered this data that is, precise down to the millimeter. You've done the heavy lifting. The model is perfect. The hard part is supposed to be over.
But it's never really over, is it?
No. Because then you have to actually present it. And all of a sudden, you're not this high-tech surveyor anymore. You're just a person fighting with a spreadsheet at 5 o'clock on a Friday, just trying to get columns to line up so the client doesn't think you're incompetent.
It's the classic last-mile problem. You can have the best data in the world, but if the report you deliver looks sloppy, the customer gets unhappy.
And that is exactly what we are digging into today. We are looking at a tool called Zero PPM Report Studio from a company called GeoVector. And the promise here is, well, it's fascinating because it's not just about making things look pretty.
No, to none.
It's about solving a huge workflow bottleneck for a very specific group of people, surveyors who are using 12D software.
And we should probably clarify right up front for anyone listening, when we say 12D, we're talking about an absolute industry standard for civil engineering and surveying. It's a powerhouse.
The data it produces is top-notch.
Oh, absolutely. The underlying data is fantastic, very high quality, super precise.
But
But if you talk to the people actually using it, and we've got a lot of source material here from actual users, they'll tell you that getting that data out of 12D and into a document that a client can actually read, well, it's a pain.
leaves a lot to be desired, was a nice way I saw it.
That's putting it mildly. The standard export often just spits out a static text file, maybe a clunky PDF.
Yeah.
It's hard to format, it's a nightmare to edit, and the formatting can be wildly inconsistent.
Right. It feels like serving a Michelin star meal on a soggy paper plate.
That is a surprisingly accurate analogy.
So, the mission for this deep dive is to figure out if Report Studio is actually the fix. How do we take that raw, heavy data from 12D and turn it into something client-ready without, tearing our hair out?
And not just client-ready in how it looks, but in how it works. Because the really big claim here is that this tool turns dead text into a live interactive spreadsheet.
Okay, let's start right there. Because when I first read Interactive Spreadsheet, I thought, all right, so it exports to Excel, big deal. But the documentation draws this huge line in the sand. What's the real difference?
So think of it this way. Usually when you export a report from 12D, or really any heavy engineering software, what you're getting is a snapshot. It's just a picture of the data at that one moment.
It's frozen. If I see a number that looks wrong in a PDF, I can't do anything with it.
Exactly. You can't click on it, you can't tweak it, it's just ink on a page.
Yeah.
But Report Studio, it acts as a bridge. You take your content from 12D, you can paste it in directly or read a file, and it parses it. It doesn't just dump the text. It translates that text into actual Excel
And that's
formulas.
the key, right? The formulas.
That is the whole game changer. Because once it's a formula, the data is live.
Yeah.
So let's say you're looking at a pavement conformance report. You realize one of your design tolerances was set a little too tight for a certain section.
Right. In a normal report, that means going all the way back to 12D, changing it, rerunning the whole thing, exporting again.
It's a 20-minute job for a 10-second fix. And that's assuming you remember all the little formatting tweaks you made the first time.
Of course.
With Report Studio, since it's an Excel formula, you might just change the number in the tolerance cell, and boom, the pass-fail indicators for that whole section just update instantly. You can test scenarios right there.
So you're not just looking at a receipt of what happened. You're interacting with a working model of the survey.
Exactly that. It turns the report from a record into a tool.
And speaking of tools, we have to talk about how it visualizes tolerance. Because just staring at rows and rows of coordinates and elevations, it's just a wall of numbers. It makes my eyes cross.
It's total data overload, which is why the conditional formatting feature is so important. And I know conditional formatting sounds like, Excel 101.
Yeah, pretty basic stuff.
But the way they've implemented it is very specific to what a surveyor actually needs.
It's not just making things look pretty. It looked like it was about risk assessment.
Right. The software automatically compares the as-built data to the design data. If the delta is inside the tolerance you set, the cell turns, say, a calming green,
Yeah.
your brain just sees. You don't even have to read the number.
But if it's outside that tolerance.
Bright red, It screams at you. And that is so important because a report might have thousands of points. You can't possibly check every single digit. This system highlights the exceptions so you can focus your attention where it actually matters.
I saw something in the as-built versus design string options menu that looked really cool. There were all these toggles. You could control the highlighting for horizontal and vertical issues separately.
Yes, and that is a really smart, nuanced feature. It shows this was built by people who've done the job. Because sometimes vertical accuracy is everything like for drainage. If water doesn't flow downhill, the whole project fails.
But the horizontal accuracy might have a bit more wiggle room.
It might, depending on the structure. So you can toggle the highlighting. You can make it so that the client sees the red flags for elevation, but maybe a minor horizontal drift doesn't trigger a big visual alarm. You're guiding their eye to what's critical.
You're telling a story with the data, not just dumping it on them. Okay, so the data is live. The errors are glowing red. That takes care of the analysis. But let's go back to my soggy paper plate, the presentation.
The front matter.
Front matter. It sounds like a term from publishing.
It pretty much is. It's everything that wraps around your data, the cover sheet, your headers, footers. And in the standard 12D output, that's often the ugliest part. The logo doesn't line up. The font is weird.
And this is where I think Zero PPM Report Studio really tries to be a corporate tool. I saw the home screen in the source notes, and it was full of these weird codes, like in angle brackets, project title, and job name.
The place market system.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you run a business, this is arguably the most valuable feature in the whole thing.
Really, at first glance, it just looks like a mail merge.
It's like mail merge on steroids, but yeah. Think about surveyor liability. These reports are often legal documents. What happens if you send one out and page 45 still has the job number from the last project because you forgot to update one footer?
Oh, that's a disaster. That's an immediate redo, and it looks so unprofessional.
It undermines the integrity of the whole document. So the placemarker system centralizes all that info. You go to the home page of the spreadsheet, you type the job name once, you type the project title once, you put the surveyor's name, let's say Alan Billsborough, in once.
And the software just finds and replaces those tags everywhere.
Everywhere. The cover, the header on page 1, the footer on page 50. It swaps job name for 0034 northbound ramps in an instant. It guarantees consistency. The cover won't say one thing and a random page footer say another.
That's such a simple idea, but it just eliminates that human error. That moment where you're tired, you're copy-pasting, and you just miss one spot.
Exactly. Consistency is a proxy for quality. If a client sees mismatched headers, they start to wonder, if they can't get the footer right, did they get the grade right?
That is a really good point. So the branding is locked down. What about the reports themselves? We know it does the basics right. Payment conformance, volume reports.
The table stakes. Yep. Point-to-point comparisons. You have to have those.
But I found something in the documentation that felt like a secret code, like a hack for doing subsoil reports.
Ah, yes. This is a great example of how the software is using logic, not just formatting.
Okay, walk me through it. Because normally a subsoil report, where you're checking the grade of a pipe or a trench, that would be a whole different module or export, wouldn't it?
Typically, yeah. Or you'd be stuck doing a ton of manual calculations in Excel to figure out the fall of the pipe, you know, writing your own formulas to make sure the water's actually going downhill.
But with this, the notes say you just take a standard as-built string versus design string report and add two lines of text to it.
That's it. You just type the keyword subsoil report, and then you set a parameter, like grade min.
12.5.
It just knows. It parses those keywords. It says, the user wants a subsoil analysis. And it completely changes the output logic. It calculates all the grades for you automatically from the string data. But the best part is the visual.
Arrow.
The flow direction symbols. If you look at the screenshot for the subsoil report, there are these little up and down arrows in one of the columns.
So it literally shows you which way the water is flowing.
Instantly. You don't have to sit there deciphering elevation numbers to figure out the slope. The arrow just tells you. And you didn't have to change your original data in 12D at all.
That's really clever. It's like unlocking a hidden feature.
It shows they understand what the end user, the client, actually wants to see. A client just wants to know, does the water go downhill? They don't want to do mental math.
And speaking of what the client wants, they usually want one file, not five separate attachments in an email for pavement, volume, pipe data.
And that's where the stacking feature comes in. Report Studio lets you combine all these different reports.
So I can have my pavement report followed by that subsoil report we just talked about, then a volume report, all in one Excel file.
Yep. They're all managed independently inside the file. But when you go to print or export a PDF, it just flows as one single paginated document. One file, one email.
That sounds incredibly seamless, but I have to play devil's advocate here. We're talking about building these complex reports on top of Excel, and Excel can be a bit of a wild animal.
It definitely has its quirks.
Well, I was reading the technical section on Front Matter, and I found something that sounded very, very rigid. The 25-column rule.
It sounds like a secret society. The order of the 25 columns.
I wish, but it's actually a layout constraint. Why so specific? Why 25?
It all comes down to how Excel handles printing and merging different sheets together. If your cover sheet has columns that are 10 pixels wide, and your data sheet has columns that are 50 pixels wide, and you try to stack them in one print job,
the margins go crazy.
Margins shift, things get cut off, content jumps to the wrong page. It's a complete mess.
So Report Studio just enforces a strict grid.
A very strict one.
Yeah.
Every sheet that's part of the Front Matter has to have exactly 25 columns.
Yeah.
And they have to be a fixed width. You can't just drag the column dividers to resize them.
That feels really restrictive. What if my company logo is wider than one column?
You merge. That's the workaround. If you need a big wide space for a title, you just merge columns A, B, and C into one big cell. But the underlying skeleton, that grid, has to stay at that 25-column spacing.
Okay, so it's like tiling a bathroom. The tiles can be different sizes, but the grout lines all have to line up.
That is a surprisingly good analogy.
Yeah.
You can, however, change the row heights as much as you want.
I saw a trick for that, actually. The blank row trick.
A classic formatting hack.
So if I need a big empty space on the cover page, maybe for a signature or a site photo, instead of just hitting enter a bunch of times.
Which is a terrible way to do it because it breaks as soon as you change printers.
Right. Instead, you just type a number in column A.
That's it. If you type the number 10 in column A, the software interprets that as insert 10 blank rows here when you generate the final print.
That's so handy. It keeps your template file looking clean and compact, but the final output has all the space you need.
Exactly. And if you need even more freedom, like you want to include a whole page with a big diagram or a long narrative, they have what are called user pages.
Which are basically just blank canvases.
Pretty much. They still follow the 25-column rule for the margins, but otherwise you can put whatever you want on them. It's for all the stuff that doesn't fit neatly into a data table.
So we've covered the technical side, but I want to zoom out to the business side. A tool like this isn't just for one person, it's for a whole firm. How does a company actually manage this without it turning into chaos?
And that's exactly what it's designed to prevent. The documentation recommends a three-tier hierarchy for the files.
Okay, what are the tiers?
So tier one is the master spreadsheet. It lives on the company server. It's read-only for most people. It's got the official company logo, the legal disclaimers, the corporate colors.
The source of truth.
Correct. Tier two is the project copy. Take the master, you do a save as for your specific project, and you add the client's logo and the project details.
And tier three.
That's the surveyor's copy. That's the file Alan Bilsborough is actually using out in the field. He adds his signature. He imports his daily data into that file.
I like that separation. It means Alan doesn't have to go hunting for the high-res version of the company logo. It's just there. He can just focus on the data.
It's control balanced with flexibility. The company controls the brand. The surveyor controls the data.
Now, there is one technical thing we have to talk about. It's a subscription service. And the licensing looks a little old school.
It uses a physical license file, or a digital file that acts like a physical key. You get a license file, and it has to sit in the exact same folder as your spreadsheet.
So if I move the spreadsheet to a USB drive, but I forget the license file.
The import button won't work. You can't process any new data.
That seems a little clunky, but I guess it works well if you're offline.
That's the big benefit. Surveyors are often out in the middle of nowhere. They don't have reliable internet to ping a license server.
Yeah.
A file-based check is actually really robust for field work.
That makes sense. But what happens when the subscription ends? We saw that date in the image, 02022026. If I wake up the next day, is all my data held hostage?
This is a really important pro-consumer detail they included. No, yeah. If your license expires, the software degrades gracefully. You can still open your old reports. You can still view the data. You can still print them.
You just can't bring new data in.
Exactly. The import function stops working, but your historical records are completely safe. You're not locked out of your own work.
That seems fair. It respects that the data is yours. And what if I have some really bizarre niche report from 12D that Report Studio doesn't support out of the box?
GeoVector offers custom development. and they do it at a fixed cost.
Which is pretty rare. Usually it's, we'll bill you by the hour and good luck.
Right. A fixed cost means they're taking the risk on how complex it is. It suggests they're pretty confident in their own system.
So we've covered the what? It's a bridge from 12D to Excel. And the how, live formulas, place markers, strict column rules. But I want to end on the why.
The big picture.
Yeah. Why should a busy surveyor bother learning a new tool? Is it really just about making things look pretty?
I don't think it's vanity at all. I think it's about respecting the value of the work itself.
Go on.
Look, you can be the best surveyor in the state. You can have the most expensive equipment, the most precise measurements. But the client, the client never sees the drone. They don't see the total station.
They just see the PDF you emailed them.
That document is the product. Mm-hmm. That is what they paid for. And if you hand them a messy, misaligned text file where columns run off the page, subconsciously, they start to question the data.
It's the whole brown M&Ms theory. If you can't get the little details of the report right, maybe you didn't get the big details of the elevation right.
Exactly. Zero PPM Report Studio is a way for a surveyor to say, my data is professional, and my delivery is going to match that professionalism. It respects the effort that went into the measurement.
And it respects the client, too. Giving them a spreadsheet where the errors light up in red saves them time. It could prevent them from building something wrong because they misread a number in a dense table.
And in this industry, being the surveyor who makes the client's life easier, that is how you get the next contract.
That's a really powerful takeaway. We obsess so much over the inputs, the better sensors, the better models, but maybe we've been neglecting the output.
We have to stop treating the report as just paperwork you finish at the end of the day. It is the tangible representation of the entire job.
Engineering rigor for your spreadsheets. I like that.
Why not?
So here's a thought to leave you with today. We focus so much on the data gathering part of our jobs, but how much value are you losing in the data delivery phase? If your insights are buried in a bad format, do they even really exist? Maybe it's time to look at your deliverables and ask, is this document serving the data or is it just hiding it?
That's the question.
Thanks for diving in with us. We'll see you in the next one.
Goodbye.